Blog Talk Radio.
Today you can claim the life you were meant to have. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't. But success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for All the Way In can be summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart. Enjoy. You'll be glad you did. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Lake, and I'm glad you're with us. Today is Friday, November 13th, and we are in the middle of our HIV interview series. We will give you information, empowerment, and clarity. If you know someone, love someone, or are someone who has HIV or AIDS, and you're looking for basic, straightforward information that you can use, this is for you. I'm really excited about the dedicated and passionate people you will hear during the series. So let's get started. Today, we are with our guest in New York, Dr. Joel Jive. Dr. Jive, it's my pleasure to welcome you to All the Way In. Dr. Jive?
Yeah, Joel Jive's here. Yes, he is.
Yes. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, I would like to start with you telling our listeners a little bit about you and your work.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm actually a third-generation community pharmacist. My grandfather was a pharmacist. My dad is still a practicing pharmacist. And we have a pharmacy that specializes in HIV in Bronx, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a pharmacist for about 15 years, and because of my interest in HIV, I actually went on to get my doctorate in pharmacy about 6 years ago.
That's great, and I'm glad to have you here because I have some questions that I have been asked and I've come across in the work, and it's just basic information that people need about medication and things like that, okay?
Sure, no problem.
Let's start with some of the newest breakthroughs that you know about in HIV medication. Are there any out there, and what do you know about it?
Well, Think of that question. I think about when I first started taking care of HIV patients in 1994,
mm-hmm.
and there really wasn't, that much out there. And what was out there was a lot of very complicated ways of taking medications, taking a lot of pills. And there were some HIV patients that were taking 25 to 30 pills a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has happened, a lot of these drug companies have tried to help patients and have combined more than one drug in a pill. So there's actually a drug out there now where you just take one pill a day, and that could possibly take care of your HIV infection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a new therapeutic vaccine out, and it's in clinical trials now. It's called Dermavir, and it has a kind of an interesting drug delivery system. It's considered a therapeutic vaccine. I think what's important for the listeners to know what the difference is between a therapeutic vaccine and a preventative vaccine. A preventive vaccine is one that you use to try to prevent somebody from getting HIV. Mm-hmm. A therapeutic vaccine is you give to somebody who's HIV positive to help them manage their disease and their drug regimens in a more comfortable and an effective manner. This is considered a therapeutic vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being a vaccine, when I think of vaccines, I have a couple of kids, and when they hear vaccines, they get all nervous because it's a shot. This is not a shot. It's actually a dermal patch that's applied mm-hmm. to the skin, and you keep it on for 3 hours, and then it's removed, and each treatment lasts about 6 weeks. And that one is something that I think is very interesting.
Yes, it is. And it helps manage the side effects and things like that?
Well, I'm not sure of the side effect profile of it, but what it will do is that it'll help determine the sequence of how the drugs are given to an HIV patient. You know,
mm-hmm.
some of these drugs can be toxic, as your listeners may be aware. And by using this patch, you're actually reserving the bigger guns or the drugs that could have more side effects further down the road or not at all.
Ah, that's great. That's good to know. Another question that I have run across a lot, what are the most dramatic benefits that you've seen from medication over the, past 5 years?
Well,
that's a good one, but, you know, maybe that's the one that we just talked about.
Well, I want to answer that in two ways.
Okay.
I want to answer it back in 1996-97 when a class of HIV drugs came on the marketplace called protease inhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, there were HIV drugs, but they really weren't as effective. And I remember I had one patient who was literally at death's door. He looked like, quite frankly, a concentration camp victim.
Mm-hmm.
And a month later, he came in, and I didn't recognize him. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And what also I kind of want to share with you is that for all that we have we have over 300 HIV patients in our pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep records, medication records on all of them, separate files. And I look back sometimes and see what's in there. And it's incredible how these regimens change. But you know, I guess the dramatic benefits I see is how these people's lives, how they can live longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the reduction of the number of pills they have to take.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I've noticed as well is the side effects aren't as dramatic, physically, the side effects that you see on a person's body so much. Yeah.
You know, I want to talk about that also, side effects.
Yeah, sure.
And before I give a specific one, I found last week's interview you had with Thomas DiLorenzo really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two topics that were mentioned. There was attitude and communication.
Mm-hmm.
And a pharmacist or even a healthcare provider using good communication skills with a patient and having a non-judgmental attitude can go a really long way to minimizing even the worst side effects.
Mm.
And I guess that the key thought in my mind is just being upfront and honest with the patient. Because if somebody is HIV positive and they're newly infected,
mm-hmm.
and they're feeling more or less okay,
mm-hmm.
and then they take these medications and they start feeling nauseous or when they get a rash, well, why do they want to take it if they don't really understand what's going on?
Yeah.
And I tell people right up front, you may feel this, you may feel that. As long as they're not surprised and I give them some strategies to deal with it, in the long run, it works better. But in terms of side effects and the worst ones that I've seen, is probably the one that people tell me is the most difficult is the vomiting, especially in the morning.
Mm.
And I guess there's what happens with some folks, and not all, is that with certain HIV medications, the fat on our bodies
mm-hmm.
redistributes, and it doesn't always look typical. And some people feel very self-conscious about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you're right. It does help if people know in advance and
mm-hmm.
it's not a big
mm-hmm.
surprise.
I think the thing that I look at with the work I've done at HIV the past 15 years and what I guess I admire about the human spirit, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is the strength of people dealing with adversity and people who you would never think could do that. And people who have lived unstructured lives or unfortunately went to high-risk behaviors, became HIV positive, and they turned their lives around, but they've dealt with these challenges and are there to support others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you look at the strength of the human spirit in this, it's truly amazing.
Most definitely. Most definitely. That's one of the things that struck me first. Was just the resiliency
mm-hmm.
and the goodness that's really in us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we get stuck on what is not good about the human race, but there's
right.
a lot of good there that's not often recognized, for sure.
Right.
Let's move into access. Is there a difference based on geography? And we're going to stick with the United States with this series.
Okay.
Is there a difference based on where you live, as to whether or not how you can get the medication, how easily you can get medication that you've noticed?
Well, I could tell you this, that I actually, about 6 years ago, took a course or a traineeship at Johns Hopkins, and there were people from all over the country there. And I could say that based on what I saw then and what I kind of see now, what I read now in magazines, that if you're HIV positive, obviously the United States is the best place to be. Mm-hmm. But when I think about places where a person can see consistently good care based on the availabilities of pharmacists, the availabilities of HIV specialists, I think of New York, L.A., San Francisco, South Florida, Chicago, and maybe I might have missed a couple of spots. But regardless of what I'm mentioning here, I think what's really, really important, who I kind of feel are unsung heroes in the HIV pandemic, are the people who are like the case managers, the social workers, the
Definitely.
People that take people who are disfranchised and indigent populations and help them get care. So even if you're in an area that may not be known for HIV care, that does not necessarily mean that you're not going to receive good care somehow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think the best way to do that is just to ask questions to a social worker, to a
mm-hmm.
case manager.
Because mm-hmm.
they're the people that really know. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a PharmD. I'm a pharmacist. I've been a pharmacist for almost, 15 years now. When my grandfather was sick and he was in the hospital, I'll never forget this. We're talking and the case manager said to my grandmother, Mrs. So-and-so, you realize your ankles are swollen. And I'm thinking, how did she know that she didn't take her medications? She didn't take her medications because she was not, her ankles are swollen because she didn't take her medications. She got sick a couple of days later.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm trying to make here is that every person in healthcare has their own area of expertise. A doctor has it, a nurse has it, a pharmacist has it. And when it comes to accessing care and knowing how to navigate the system, case managers and social workers are godsends, and they're people that HIV patients need to utilize really, really well.
Yeah, that's so true. They're like the frontline people.
Right.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break right now, and we're just going to be gone for a minute, so we'll be right back.
Sure.
Isn't that John and Rachel over there? I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking, venting.
No, Rachel found out John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yeah, she was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind. Maybe...
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom, too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and you know I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
Okay, we're back, and we are talking with Dr. Jive in New York about HIV medication. And one of the things I'd like to talk about next is the expense.
Okay.
And is there help? We've kind of touched on it with the case management, but is there specific help other than the things that automatically come to your mind?
Sure. One thing I could tell you that we do it at Zy Pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
that when we have an issue with expensive medications, I think the first line of defense for somebody who needs these medications is to see if they're eligible for two types of programs. One of them is called Medicaid.
Yes.
The other one is called ADAP, and ADAP stands for AIDS Drugs Assistance Program.
Mm-hmm.
I would say most of our patients are on one of those two programs. And occasionally, if you have another one, you're company might have a prescription plan that pays for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference between Medicaid and ADAP is that you can still be working and make a salary to a certain amount. Sorry about that. And then I think those are the differences.
Yeah.
One you can keep working, one that you're supposedly on public assistance.
Okay, that's good. The other questions that come up is medication, as it refers to gender or age or ethnicity, would the doctor make a different choice based on any of those categories?
Absolutely, and the answer to all three of those categories is yes.
Okay, all right.
And this is how it would work. If a patient is pregnant, there would be limitations to drug selection. Okay, so that answers, the gender issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as age goes, based on the body composition of water to fat, how you would dose an infant versus an adult would be different.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as when you have adolescents who have HIV, unfortunately in this country there are less and less of them, a lot of dosing is based on weight.
Mm.
And as far as ethnicity goes, it's not that clear. But when I was in pharmacy school, we learned about three types of ethnicities that have interesting interactions and metabolisms with drugs based on their own body types, like Eskimos, mm-hmm. Indians, and Asian Americans. Depending on the ethnicity, that could be an issue with the HIV drugs, but there's nothing really clear-cut that I could, comment on at this time.
Yeah. This was really good. I really appreciate that you're giving us some really basic information that people really need. The next question, here we are. Some people are told after treatment that the HIV virus is no longer detected in their bodies. In other words, the test doesn't pick it up. What does this mean?
Okay. What I have to share with you is that the HIV virus multiplies, millions and millions of copies. And unchecked in a milliliter of blood, think of a milliliter of blood, that's a very small amount. There could be millions or hundreds of thousands of virus particles in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the HIV medications work as intended, the number of those HIV, what they call viral particles, can go to a very low or even a non-existent number. So when you might hear the term undetectable,
mm-hmm.
you might hear 50 copies. That means that when they've tested a person's blood, there are 50 copies or less of an HIV virus particle in a person's blood. And that would be considered, for all intents and purposes, undetectable.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do a good job explaining that?
Definitely, because one of the things we're going to get to is the next question, which a lot of people believe that there's a cure for AIDS or a cure
okay.
for HIV.
Well, but here's the issue that's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's not detectable in the bloodstream doesn't mean that HIV has left the body.
Exactly.
Because the thing about HIV is that it hides in places that medications can't reach. And two examples of those places are your lymph nodes and in men, the prostate. And those are called sanctuaries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the virus can't totally be eradicated, and that's why it's not totally detected. So
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. That's what I guess I was going to say. When I think about, getting back to what you said about the cure, when I look at the human body and I look at some of the biggest challenges in healthcare today, I think of two areas. I think of the immune system, which obviously HIV is involved with, and I also kind of think of, say, brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that despite those challenges, especially with the immune system, and getting to your question regarding a cure, I think that there's something really, really important about that, and that is that science today is making a cure, I believe, possible and probable.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the big but, okay? But the key to getting such breakthroughs as, say, gene therapies and therapeutic vaccines through the FDA or Food and Drug Administration
mm-hmm.
and getting that to the marketplace means overcoming the bureaucracy, and I think that's still a very, very tough thing to do. But I also want to just throw in economics for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important. The economy, one of the biggest problems I think that we're having is that there's not a lot of credit, not a lot of credit for companies to prosper with. And these companies that are trying to do these breakthroughs need cash to get these things going. And I think that's kind of tough, that until money's kind of free up a little bit more and bureaucracy kind of decreases, it's going to be tougher and tougher to get these products to market.
Hmm.
But do I think that there's a cure? I think it's definitely out there. I think that, you know, when you have humans, and we talked about earlier about this, the goodness of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have people who are bright and motivated, there's really, and focused, there's nothing that, you know, we can't do.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Let me make sure I clarify. What I hear you saying is that you see a cure for AIDS in the near horizon.
I don't want to say the near horizon because I'm a PharmD, but I'm not a immunological scientist.
Yeah, yeah.
I would not want to. The last thing I'd want to do is unrealistically raise somebody's expectations.
Exactly.
And say something I really don't know of a time frame. And the reason why I say that is that when I read the news, I read about, say, vaccines,
mm-hmm.
and supposedly they're this tantalizingly close and they're not, I can't really give an accurate answer on that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the best we can do. That's the best we can do.
Right.
It's all along the same line, and maybe we can move to the next question or not,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to throw it out there anyway.
Sure.
Here. Some people believe that AIDS really doesn't exist. It just
mm-hmm.
doesn't exist. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how this perception came about.
How it came about. When I think about something like this, because I'm kind of a man of science,
mm-hmm.
and seeing things in a microscope and seeing how things work, it's something so out of the realm of what I believe. Yet, I guess my best explanation that I could give you is this comes from people that don't have a clear understanding of infectious disease and science.
Hmm.
And about, I guess it was 4 years ago, I was in South Africa. I was taking a course for the humanitarian work I do.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do what they call HIV drug chain supply management.
Mm-hmm.
And there was issues going on in South Africa where they felt that you could cure AIDS with fruit juices and vegetable juices and all sorts of things that were just really mind-boggling to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you don't have that kind of background, then you don't kind of understand where that's coming from. And unfortunately, in some of these countries, the people that don't have this background are the ones that are governing it, too.
True, yeah. Yeah. So it probably comes from a lot of different sources, I think. One is wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I would call they're in denial about it.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if it doesn't exist, they don't have to deal with it.
Right.
There are a lot of different reasons, I think, and I think you touched on one, and that is where how you think, as far as not saying anything's wrong with either one, but having a scientific base behind your thought process makes a difference too.
But if I could just do a corollary to that,
sure.
I think what concerns me about, let's talk about this country,
mm-hmm.
is what could be construed for some patients as a negative mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that in the Bronx, what I'd seen, which kind of upset me, is that somebody had HIV, and when they were said you were positive, they said, well, my brother had it, my dad had it. It was almost inevitable that I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to say here is that stay away from, you know, have listeners. What I would say to your listeners is stay away from that negative mindset.
Yeah.
You know, that if you're going to go for taking care of yourself and dealing with it, then do it. And don't associate with folks that don't believe in it or don't understand it. And it's hard to do, but it's something that I think is really necessary to get on the right track towards treatment.
Definitely. And they'll have a fatalistic attitude about it.
Right.
I'm going to get it.
Right. I mean, is it as easy as say, get insulin for diabetes? Some people say yes. Is it a death sentence as it was in the early 80s? No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that has to be watched. But, you know, it's so funny. Remember I said to you I have folders for every single one of our HIV patients?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was kind of looking. We do, like, routine chart reviews. I check them, make sure everything is good with their regimens.
Mm-hmm.
And I have people here that have been here for almost, you know, 12, 13, 14 years.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking patient folders almost as thick as a half a phone book.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all living much longer.
Mm-hmm.
longer. Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, it's funny you should say that. They're living much longer, and there's a whole slew of other issues that we, that if we had time, we could get into about how to deal with that as well.
Exactly. One of them I'm thinking of right away, age and HIV. People get older,
right,
and they have different needs than they did when they were younger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about advice. You're sitting looking at someone who's starting to take medication
right,
for the first time, or their medication is not working and they're switching, or they're having side effects that they're like, I don't want to do this. What advice would you give that person?
Okay. Well, here's the thing is that this is one area that I've done this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to share something that I think is really, really important.
Okay.
Before I give like a checklist of what you should do, I think there's something general that a person should at least try to get when they do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a concept I call cultural competency. And what it is that myself as a healthcare provider tries to do is understand what the person's perceptions are of what healthcare is and what
mm-hmm.
it could be for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I'm somebody that's starting to take these medications, I want to kind of see if it's possible in my area, at first I can go to somebody that understands me,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't judge me.
Exactly.
As a healthcare, because just like there's a culture that, say, an African-American have or Latino would have, there's
mm-hmm.
also a culture of healthcare people, too.
Definitely, yeah.
And those are two very different cultures sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there's got to be mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also got to be something very important that you have to start with somebody you're comfortable with. And then when I say that, usually it's probably going to be like a pharmacy or somebody who counsels you.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've kind of put that out there, let me kind of give you some things that should happen.
Okay.
The first thing is to be ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's one drug out there now that's three drugs in one, and it's one pill a day, and you can start taking that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's kind of hard to do this because we're on the radio, but let me just try this. I want the listeners to look at HIV treatments as an upside-down triangle.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the top, so now you're at the top of this upside-down triangle, and it's the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And those are your most options. But if you don't take your medications correctly, if you don't take them on time, then as you kind of go down the triangle gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and your options get smaller and smaller and smaller and more difficult. So the reason why I'm telling you that you need to be ready to start. Now, the other thing that I've used is I said, who are you doing this for? And some people are in such a place with their HIV, they have such low self-esteem, or just have such a, at that point, such a horrific life journey,
mm-hmm.
that they can't do it for themselves. So I said, well, if you can't do it for yourself right now, who can you do it for?
Mm.
Well, I want to see my kids graduate middle school or high school or college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to find some sort of short, definable goal that you can do
mm.
and start doing that. Okay.
Mm.
The other thing is get to know your pharmacist. Get to know the pharmacist's first name
mm-hmm.
and ask and make sure that they know what's going on. Also, to the best of your ability, and I know some people initially are shy about this, is ask lots of questions.
Yeah.
What is this for? One of the most important things that a person could do when they pick up their prescription at a pharmacy is take the bag, open up the bag, and take 30 seconds to read every single one of the labels, and if you have any questions, ask it. Don't wait till you get home. Do it right that you're in the moment.
Exactly. That's
right.
Great.
Yeah. The other thing that's also important to do is, and it's easier now, admittedly, than it was maybe 10, 15 years ago, is take your pills around your lifestyle.
Hmm.
So what I mean by that, if you have to take a drug twice a day, well, take the drug either at breakfast or at dinner, or take it when you brush your teeth in the morning, you brush your teeth at night.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find some part of your day that's routine that you could blend your medication taking into.
Wow, that's really great advice there. Yeah.
And I have another one that's kind of maybe not directly applied to this, but I feel I should mention to you anyway. A lot of these HIV medications, they're not temperature dependent, but they could be temperature sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the worst place that the listeners can keep their medications is in the bathroom medicine cabinet.
Mm.
And the reason why is that there's three factors that destroy or degrade the potency of medications. Is heat, okay, is moisture, and then obviously the darkness could actually accelerate that. So if you have kids in the house, keep them in the kitchen, in the cabinet of your kitchen.
Mm.
And I think because by doing that, you're maintaining the stability of the medications.
Which is important because that determines how well they work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And getting back to how well they work, there are certain drugs you could take with food, take without food. And it's very important that a person who's HIV positive, who's taking medications, takes all their medications to one pharmacy. Because here's what happens with somebody who's HIV positive. They live in a neighborhood, and they go to one pharmacy, and they get maybe their antibiotic there, they'll get skin creams there. And then because they don't want the neighborhood to know, then they'll go to a pharmacy outside.
Mm.
So they're basically using two different pharmacies.
Yeah.
The problem that arises is that some of these HIV medications could interact with other medications.
That's true.
So it's really best to try to use the same pharmacy for everything.
Yeah, and communication is what I'm hearing you say is very
uh-huh.
important. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to connect with someone. And if you're not comfortable doing that, then that's a message that maybe you should not be bear.
What I think is also important, now that you mentioned that, I give a lot of talks and lectures.
Mm-hmm.
And when I give a lecture, I'm sitting around the room, and I say, who here has a Medicaid card? And they look at me like I'm a little crazy because most of us do.
Mm-hmm.
So one person takes out the Medicaid card, and I said, could you please hold it above your head? And I said, you see that card? That's not just a Medicaid card. That's choice.
Mm-hmm.
And every day at our pharmacy, in the Bronx, our pharmacy, we have to do our best that we can to make sure that you want to choose to come in here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you go to any other pharmacy, whether it's in Alabama or wherever your listeners are,
mm-hmm.
that if they're not happy with that pharmacy, they're not tied to that pharmacy.
Exactly.
You know, they need to go to a place where they're going to be respected, where they're going to get treated fairly,
mm-hmm.
and where they're going to feel that they're going to be somebody. They're going to go to a place where they know they're going to get good treatment.
Yeah, and where they can ask and talk and be themselves, so
right.
they can find out what they need to find out.
Right. Now, I guess the thing that's also important to know is obviously there's the issues of privacy.
Of course,
And obviously, I don't know if this was discussed in any of your previous interviews, but about HIPAA and about patient confidentiality,
mm-hmm.
that always has to be maintained. And if you feel that you're at a place, whether it's a doctor's office or a pharmacy where it's not, then again, you have a choice to go elsewhere.
Exactly. Yes. Maintain your privacy. You're absolutely right to bring
mm-hmm.
that up. That. One other thing, and then we're going to start to wrap it down. We have about maybe 8 more minutes.
Sure, okay.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to help a person who is facing this medication change or whatever? How could someone who wants to actually be there and help, not just hold hand, but kind of help?
Well, I think the first thing that has to happen here is that the person that, let's say I'm HIV positive and you want to help me,
mm-hmm.
okay? Well, the thing is that the first and foremost is that I have to be willing to want you to help me.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, as painful as it sounds, you gotta be ready. You can only help somebody who wants to help themselves.
That's true.
Okay, so getting that out of the way, that you want to help, that I want your help. Some of the things that we do, and I have also counseled, I guess, patient caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
Is again try not to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you try to be as knowledgeable as they can. And again, some of the same things about starting someone to get HIV medications is ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and also get to be friendly with the pharmacist as well.
Mm-hmm.
If the pharmacist knows that you are working in tandem with each other, that's really a good thing. It's a good thing because if you say something to me and I don't hear it, then maybe you'll hear it as my backup.
Exactly.
All right.
That's good. Yeah.
Some other things that you can do is that you can get inexpensive pill compartments, and you can actually pre-pour or fill them up for a person.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that as well. You can also, in the beginning, help them and remind them when to take their medications.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that a lot of times you do this and you get the person going and you just shouldn't just walk away. Because let's face it, like anything else, you do something and you're good at it, but then you can kind of slide off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the issue there here is just to check in on the person and kind of, once you start to kind of maintain it, kind of keep the car tuned up as it's going.
Mm. Just kind of like maintenance.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing that gets kind of crazy, I guess from a healthcare provider standpoint, is that the HIV virus is very tricky, and it's very devious. And the best way to fight this is you need to take the medications just about every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you know what? As a pharmacist, when I take an antibiotic treatment, I'll miss a couple of doses, and I should know better.
Mm-hmm.
But why am I telling you this? I'm telling this to you because everybody's human, and you can't beat yourself up if you miss a dose or two. I mean, I've heard situations where somebody misses a couple of doses, and they say, oh, gosh, that's it. That's it for me.
Mm.
I'm done, and then they stop taking it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say is do the best you can for both the caregiver and the patient. Do the very best you can, and if you miss a dose, you missed a dose, and you can't do anything about it. Just go on.
Exactly. Exactly. So, like I said, we're going to wrap it up a little bit. So I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. And those of you who have heard my shows before know that you need to have a pen and paper. But if you don't, if you're new and you don't, then you can go to the website, welake.com, and you'll find a link to Dr. Joel.
Okay.
So tell people how to get in touch with you.
Wonderful. Thank you. We're in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
It's Zive Pharmacy.
Okay.
And our phone number is 718-824-6060.
Okay. And you have a website or email or anything?
Let me give you an email. It's ZIVEPHARM, Zive Pharm, at AOL.com. If they have questions, I'll be more than happy to try to answer them or find people that could answer them.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. Can I mention one other thing?
Of course.
I actually started a nonprofit, and we do work in Africa. We have actually built pharmacies in Africa to help HIV-positive women and their families.
I've read about it.
Yeah. If I can give that website, it's www.rx, the word for, F-O-R, rxforhope.org.
Mm-hmm. And do you take donations or anything for Dell?
Yes, we do take donations, and we take checks, and if you have the ability to use what they call PayPal, we can even take your donations via PayPal.
Definitely, the listeners, go there, check them out, because I have, and you're doing great work over there.
Well, thank you.
If you can donate, by all means do.
Right. I mean, because I think the whole part to the work I did in Africa was it really made me appreciate what we have here. Now, I'm sure that we can get into a whole 10 interviews about what the problems are with health care in this country and what's going on now through the House of Representatives and in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we have the resources and the wherewithal to do something about it.
And the infrastructure.
And
exactly.
To make changes. And the infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being here. And I want to thank you for sharing so much information. God, you're going to help so many people. The fact that you're here and that you're sharing so freely and giving so much information that will help so many people when they're struggling and trying to find tells me that you are definitely dedicated to stopping the spread of HIV through empowerment and education, which is how we're going to do it. So I really appreciate you being here, and I hope continued success to your work.
Thank you, Reverend Link. I appreciate you having me on your program.
By all means. Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening. This is All the Way in Radio for Friday, November 13th. And I'm Deborah Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Until next time, world. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. And remember to live all the way in your life. Until next time, stay connected. Visit DeborahELake.com. And while you're there, sign up to follow on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also be able to download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to alltheWayIn@DeborahELake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise.